I'm Donna Patton, and I'm here with Pastor Josh, and this is Jesus-Centric Leadership.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to do something different.
I know.
Think I say that every single week.
Yeah, it's not always different, but this one maybe is.
It may be. We're going to kind of switch the seats here,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to ask the questions, and I'm going to answer.
Yeah, we're kind of out of our sweet spots. I'm good at talking, you're good at answering, asking questions, so I don't know.
Yeah.
This will be bad.
We're both a little hesitant on this one, but what we want to do is talk a little bit about what it really means to love your neighbor. And I want to start out with reading the scripture. It's from Mark. I'm looking here. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than this.
Yeah, and so we could ask you the obvious question, why did you choose that one? But I think we'll get to that. But
right.
What we kind of wanted to talk about today and what I want to ask you some questions about is the mission trip. You guys went on a disaster relief to North Carolina. If you don't know, one of the hurricanes that hit kind of caused a lot of rain, some tornadoes, lots of people.
Mudslides.
Lots of people lost a lot. So like what stood out from you on that trip?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of things. I think definitely the devastation. We have been on mission trips before. We've been on disaster relief before. But this soon, we were the first ones there as the roads opened. And it was really hard to see that level of devastation, that level of grief, of pain. There were people who had passed away, and that was very difficult to see. It was just a lot. And I think the reason for this verse, the reason I really want to camp on this verse, is because it's really easy to talk about loving God, loving our neighbor, but when push comes to shove, do we even know who our neighbor is?
Yeah.
Do we even really understand what it means when our neighbor is trapped under their house for 3 days, and I am the one who's there that gets to love them, that gets to walk them through that, that gets to be with them. We've met a lot of people who didn't know their neighbors. It was crazy because we come from a culture where you're constantly talking about that.
Okay,
you're constantly talking about, do you know your neighbor? You do this thing where you show your neighborhood and you mm-hmm. talk about each person.
Mm-hmm.
But we ran into a lot of people who didn't know their neighbor,
okay.
let alone love their neighbor.
Yeah.
And this was their first introduction to their neighbor and to loving them. And it was hard and messy, like legit messy. And people were really in a lot of pain. And yet they did. They figured out a way to love and to embrace each other.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, as I've watched you go on mission trips, like this one in my mind, as how you've talked about, stands in stark contrast with, like, say, Nebraska. You did a few mission trips to Nebraska, and, like, the people had their houses damaged here, and these people didn't, and these people kind of came flooding in to help. And so, like, you really weren't the first helping, but it seems like as I have kind of reflected on you going on this mission trip, you were the first people talking to some peoples because the neighbors, and again, a lot of them were destroyed, but they really didn't step into each other's lives, did they?
Yeah, not immediately. I think the neighbors in those areas did. Mm-hmm. I don't think beyond those neighborhoods, they were trying to deal with their own relief and their own struggles.
Yeah.
But yeah, we heard about a woman who lost 11 family members.
Okay.
And we kept hearing about this. And it was like a half an hour to 45 minutes away, drive time.
Okay.
But we'd heard about it, as we went out to try to find kind of the edge of where everything was, we pulled up at this house, and I was like, oh, I bet we could park here, because there wasn't a lot of road left. And I said, I'll go up to the house and find out, you know, if we could park here. So this really nice woman walks out, and she lets us park there. And I was like, do you need anything? Well, come to find out, this is the woman who lost 11 people.
Mm.
Like, God brought us to her home. And, you know, when you're sitting there in that level of devastation, that there are no words. Want a gift card? Like, you know, there wasn't a whole lot. And I think love your neighbor took on a whole new meaning.
Okay. Say more about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when Jesus said this, we're like, oh, yeah, I can love my neighbor. I can be nice. I can help him, you know, in a struggle or whatever. But to stand in someone's mess next to them and to just listen and to just be and to pray and to show up again the next day, that's a challenge. And it was hard. It was really hard. She told story after story of watching the mountainside kind of come down and wash through this little area, how the neighbor across the way, who was a cousin, I think it was, how they were washed away, how one of them was saved, how she looked to the right and her brother and nephew were washed away in their house. And now you're like, this is real. This is legit.
Mm.
And it was hard. Then we sat with a fireman from the same town who the morning before that had a coffee and was sitting with some of his friends. And he said, and the next day they were gone. And how do we love in that?
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about you, and I kept thinking about how we're talking about this at Peace. You know, love your neighbor, be a good neighbor.
Mm.
And I just kept wrestling with the heart of it. I really think you talk in terms of, and I don't mean to demean it at all,
no,
but the easy of it.
Mm.
Yeah, just get to know your neighbor. You know, my next door neighbor who won't shovel anybody else's walk, let alone his own walk. And right after this was the big snowstorm, and I was like, I'm shoveling for him. It's okay. I can do this.
Yeah.
But I think the really hard, we met somebody who a tornado came through. So this is on the other side of town.
Yeah.
A tornado came through. It pinned their neighbor under their house, their 80-year-old neighbor, for 3 days before they could get somebody in. So they had to literally sit with their neighbor. And she goes, we didn't know our neighbor. We just are meeting our neighbors in the middle of this devastation. And they had lived there for years and didn't know the people around them.
Yeah.
So I think as we look at this scripture, you know, and as we talk about this, I think for me, it's the reality of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, like and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. And it's like a command.
It is.
Love your neighbor. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing.
Yeah, and I think the reality of it, it's real easy. It's, again, there's a lot of Christian things like this. It's my catchphrase. Like, it's really easy to say, really hard to do.
Right.
And I think loving your neighbor is that, right? It is that we're going to do this when it's hard, and we're going to do this when it's easy.
Yeah, and the hard is really hard. Because how do you show up? How do you introduce yourself to your neighbor as they're underneath the house?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why part of why I encourage people to get to know their neighbors in this simplistic way, and this walk across the street, and this wave to them, and this, because we never know what's going to hit them.
Yeah.
Like we, you know, we had some neighbors that are going through some stuff, and they told us what was going on. And if we hadn't built that simple relationship with them, it was shared to Sarah, but they probably wouldn't have shared that. And so I think, you know, we have to remember that we get to know our neighbors in the easy, so that if there is hard, that we can step into it.
Yeah, and I think that's really key, what you're saying. Like, Jesus didn't say, hey, when you get around to it. He didn't say, hey, when it's comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Or when you've got time to put your cell phone down. He said, I need you to do this, and I need you to do it now.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big thing too, a big realization with the team. It's the cell phone. And we've come back to this quite a few times in our conversations, but just putting down our phones and looking a person in the eye, and you've got all the time in the world just to hear your story. We didn't do any physical labor, but I was more exhausted after this trip from just listening to people's stories. And I'm a high extrovert. Like, I live for this stuff, right? But it was really hard to listen to story after story after story.
Yeah.
And to just be present in that moment.
Yeah. I think for a lot of us, our cell phone is our substance abuse of choice. Like, you know, if you drink too much alcohol, you're going to have a hard time having a good conversation, getting to know your neighbor. And I think so often we are so highly medicated on our phones that we miss, and I'm going to include myself in that we miss these opportunities we have.
Oh yeah. I got to be really honest. At one point, I think it was like the second day, we took a break and I was like just on my phone.
Mm.
I literally was like, I just need a minute.
Yeah.
And then I realized what I was doing. It was like trying to numb myself a little bit. That's not super helpful.
Yeah. And then, you know, we could go off on that, but we won't. But So why do you think loving your neighbor is so important? What's so significant of this? We talked a little bit about, but anything else to add to that?
No, I just think, you know, we never know what's going to happen. There's two extremes. Hey, just love your neighbor. And get to know them and really care for them. Like, my neighbors across the street just had a baby, and I ordered something for them, and I'm going to take it over. And, you know, I'm excited to go see them. Okay, there's that. And then there's in the middle of a crisis, do you know your neighbors? So if somebody were to come and say, do you know who lives in that house?
Mm.
Or how can I help you? So and everything in between, right? We don't want to always think about crisis happening, but we also need to build relationship.
Mm.
And I don't want to do it after. Mm. I don't want to wait until after something's happened. I want to make the most out of each day, each moment.
Yeah.
And Jesus says that here, you know, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And, I got a ways to go on that.
Yeah,
so I think it sparks an urgency. I think it sparks a need.
Yeah.
And a desire.
Yeah. Well, and I think like we can think about in terms of disaster, like what happens if there's a fire, right, or something. You know, that might be the disaster that hits here. But I think the reality of it is, whether it's that or not, like if you live in a neighborhood for 10 years. My guess is probably once every 10 years, each neighbor will have something that's not at the global disaster, but it's a local disaster, right? Like the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, a divorce. Like there's a lot of things that, you know, aren't on the disaster level that it gets in mainstream attention, but are on the disaster level to that family or to that individual. And I think that's when, like, we get to do You know, it may not be the same as large-scale disaster relief going overseas, but as a neighbor and someone that cares about them, that we get to have that, I think that similar conversation, right, that you got to have.
Yeah.
With, you know, how are you doing and what can we do to help and, you know, and then make a meal or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that, because I think about when I went through my divorce, I didn't really want my neighbors to know. You know, I didn't think it was important to share. They didn't know until my house went up for sale and they were like, oh, you're moving. And so it's interesting that you say that, because I think we don't want to be intrusive and people need you to be intrusive, and not intrusive in a negative way, but they need you to ask. They need you to notice. I would have welcomed that. I didn't pursue it, but I would have welcomed it. And in this situation, like, they didn't have a choice. We just showed up.
Yeah.
We had these bright orange shirts on and we're like, we're here for AIM. And how can we help you?
Yeah.
And then people just talked for like hours.
Yeah. Well, and I think even that, like, I think, I guess I would have a challenge for our listeners, like, as a neighbor, like, for your closest neighbors, and you don't have to know the whole block or the whole area, but for the closest neighbors, the houses around you, are you aware enough of what's going on that you'd notice, well, I haven't seen your spouse for a while, where are they? Is everything okay?
Right.
Right. Do you have that relationship that you would notice and then be able to ask that question? And I would say, like, if you don't know your closest neighbors like that, then you're missing what Jesus is saying.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't know your coworkers enough to ask them a question, hey, I can tell something's off, you know, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Then I'm not sure we know our neighbors enough to love them. And so I would say it's not just knowing their name and knowing their story and having conversations, but do we actually know them enough to notice if something's off?
Yeah.
Because again, when something's off, if we love them, we should know that. And again, not everybody, but some people around us.
Yeah, and I think you brought in a good point. I think it's also in your workplace also. Like, it's not just where I live. It's all the neighbors that God has put around me and all the places that I am.
Yeah.
And these people don't have jobs anymore, some of them.
Yeah.
So that was a non-issue. But, I think you're absolutely right to care enough to notice.
Yeah.
And wherever that is, whatever it is.
Yeah. And so maybe last question, more Jesus-centric leadership. So how does this whole conversation, what do we want leaders to know? Like, why have this conversation?
Yeah, I think one is, I'm going to put a plug in for disaster relief. like go. Like, if you get the chance, go. It's not just for students. It's not just for adults. But we have a lot of natural disasters that happen, and they need help. So go.
Yeah.
And then
I'll just pause there. I think one of the reasons we go is to help, but it's also for our development, for our learning, so that I can come back and approach my neighbors with a little different bent, right? And so I think the reason I'm such a proponent of it isn't just because we help people. It's good to help people. I'm always for that.
Correct.
But it's also about the development of you, the discipling of you.
Right. And then I think the other piece is love. Like, do it today. Like, where God has you, love the people around you.
Yeah.
And don't worry about it crossing a boundary or being upsetting, or what if I ask them a question that's too personal?
Yeah.
They also have a choice in answering that question.
Yeah.
But I think noticing and seeing people and loving them the way that Christ called us to love them is really, really important. And I think you've put that in front of us. I think this is taking it a next level of do it.
Yeah.
Because we get to and we're called to, and he commands us to. It's a commandment.
Yeah, and I think as leaders, that's so important. Like, I think now in leadership, people are going to follow you because they know that you care about them.
Yeah.
They're not going to necessarily follow a leader that's always right. They're going to follow a leader who always cares. And I think we get to practice that in every aspect of our life, in our neighborhoods, with our friends, on disaster relief, with people that we're leading and not leading. Because really what we want is, I think we want loving and caring for people to be natural to who I am, to be kind of just what I do, not something I have to struggle at or try to do. I think sometimes it starts out like that, like I'm gonna do this intentionally, but how do we make it a part of who I am as a person?
Yeah, and if you're not somebody who can jump in with both feet, if this sounds incredibly overwhelming, then pick one person.
Yeah.
And invest in them.
Yeah.
And get to know them and really ask those questions, ask the hard questions, and ask the easy questions.
Yeah.
But start. It's life changing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is that simple to start and try. And you do this so well. Like, you have a gift and innate ability. And I think it's why you've excelled in ministry and with students, because you have an innate ability to just care for somebody and want to know their story. And I think, you know, if we can pick up just a little part of that, wanting to know someone's story, and do that with one person.
Yeah, and take the time to do it.
Yeah.
And with that, we wrap up another episode of Jesus-Centric Leadership. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode.